Ah, motherhood. One minute, you're mom of the year.
I love you, mommy.
Then the next? Not so much. From bath time to bullying, from potty training to puberty, parenting is full of challenges. But one thing is for certain, you are not alone. Welcome to Modern Mom Probs. I'm your host, author, mother, parenting expert, Tara Clark. Join me while we tackle today's modern mom problems. Welcome back to another episode of Modern Mom Probs. I'm your host, Tara Clark. Here on Modern Mom Probs, we're trying to solve the world's modern mom problems, but if we can't, at least we're having fun talking about them. Today's topic is living in the age of the personal brand. I am joined by Rachel K. Albers. She is a creative director, a brand strategist for businesses that burn the rule book. When she's not working with rebels and renegades to set fire to the box instead of thinking inside it, she writes and educates about the intersection of branding, pop culture, tech, and identity. Rachel hosts Marketing Muckraking, the podcast that asks the question, what is brand culture doing to our humanity? Rachel, welcome to the show. I'm so excited you're here.
I'm delighted. It's the best day of my life. Thank you.
Well, if those are the standards, gosh, I hope it goes up from here.
I've had a rough life, as you can see. This is it. This is the apex right now. We're in it.
This is it. Oh my God, Rachel, I love you. We were chatting for I don't even know how long before we jumped on. And it was one of those conversations where I was like, gosh, I wish we were recording this because everything that you were saying was just gold, as it always is. You are so multi-talented. You are like an actor because you do these hilarious skits, but you always tie them back to business. You're a branding aficionado. And you are a lover of all things rainbow. You can't see it right now because this is audio only, but you have on the most amazing earrings that look like a television doing bars and code. It's incredible. Rachel, whew, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm going to bring you on the road with me. You're going to be my new hype person. Just like
I'm ready.
Come and be my wing woman. I'm ready for it.
It's my favorite thing in the world to hype up people, especially when they deserve it.
Well,
like,
I'll take
like people
it.
That truly, yeah, I'm literally, I should just be a professional hype woman. You know how you could hire people to be like a bridesmaid or something? I should just be the professional hype woman.
You know what? This is a blue ocean and I feel like there's money to be made here. And unfortunately, this is the world we live in. That's how where my brain goes immediately. I'm like, you can market that. You could brand that, but that's a good segue into like a little bit about me. Well, I will say validation is my love language. So thank you for that. You know, this is why this is the best day of my life. And, you know, I am a brand strategist gone wild. That's how I like to describe it. And a muckraker, a marketing muckraker, which means not only do I help people understand what branding can do for them, but I'm really interested in also what is brand culture and marketing doing to us and our humanity and our society. That I'm obsessed with that, especially because I've been in marketing and branding for 15 years professionally, and I've been consuming marketing since I was born, right? That's my flex for the day. So I'm interested in that. I'm fascinated with that. And I'm also a hell of a good time. So I got that going for me, you know?
You are a hell of a good time because we've known each other now for a little while. And I could say that every time we chat, you are just a hell of a good time.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I've got my branding down there. So, you know, something's working.
Yeah. How did you get so good at branding?
Well, here's the thing. All right. So people come to branding people, they go to rebrand or they hire a marketing company. And there is kind of a mythology or an illusion built around this industry that we know how to wave a magic wand and, you know, make clicks pop out or dollars pop out or likes or, you know. And if only I would say I would be like in a hammock as we speak, sipping something fruity and not on the internet as much. Well, I'd be doom scrolling my days away.
Same.
The reality is marketing is an art, not a science. Branding is an art, not a science. And it really comes down to experimentation, and all of the gurus are really good at obscuring that fact, at making it seem like if you just kind of like plug this magic code into some secret computer somewhere, out, you know, pops fame and fortune. And the truth is, no. I mean, it's really about, I think, the qualities that make me a good comedian, of being playful and being able to lean into experiments and jokes that may not always work, are part of what makes you a skilled branding person, because you got to be willing to play and experiment and take risks. And that's really all there is to it. And once people learn that, it's kind of disappointing. They're like, wait a minute, what am I paying this agency all this money for, just so they can screw around? Yeah, basically, that's what it's all about.
That's it. I can tell that you are a yes and person.
Yes, and indeed. Correct. You got it.
So we're talking about the age of the personal brand. I love how that, it sounds like the future, except the future is now. What is the age of the personal brand, and why should we care?
Why should we care? Well, you know, here's the thing. So we're living in this highly commercialized consumer culture that really in our modern times is about like 150 years old. The turn of the 20th century in the United States, we went from this very agrarian, rural economy where when you had to go buy something, you would go either buy from someone that you knew, or you may go to like a general store where you have like a shopkeeper who had curated a bunch of unbranded items. Like, I need oats, right? Well, here's a big barrel of oats. I'm going to scoop them out and put them in your bag, and onward you go. As we turn to this kind of industrial machine age economy where we can like, you know, crank stuff out on an assembly line, now we needed brands to be able to make customers feel comfortable buying from people they didn't know. Basically, that's what it was. We were going from this like one-on-one trade situation to now we've got all these companies vying for our dollars. Now we have to create brands. And that has now evolved into where essentially the only thing left in 2023 to brand that hasn't been branded yet is our very selves, right? And we're living it, right? Where, you know, old-time media, you opened up a newspaper, this was content created by a company, by a publishing house, by a group of journalists with some advertising to subsidize it. Today's media, we open up Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, fill in the blank, and we're the content creators. And it's our eyeballs that are essentially the product that's being sold. So now we are the product. We are being sold by Mark Zuckerberg to advertisers so that, you know, they can get in front of us, but we're also selling ourselves. And that is the age of the personal brand, where we're not only consuming products all day, every day, but we are the product. Are we depressed yet? How, you know?
I was going to say, damn, that sounds like a modern mom problem to me if I ever heard one.
Yes, right? Because not only are we now having to like shepherd our kids through this weird, wild world where their attention is being sold and resold to advertisers, but then you have this whole subworld of content creators, mommy bloggers, mommy vloggers, who are at all varying degrees of not only turning their own lives into content and monetizing their own selves and experiences and feelings and stories and anecdotes, but also in many cases, their children, right? And turning their children into products and their family life into content. And like I said, there's a spectrum here, because you, for example, you could say that you're part of that, and yet you're not like trotting your children out in front of the camera at like 6 a.m., like from dawn to dusk, you know?
No, I like to say that we're actually I'm pretty private for what it is. I mean, people don't really know what I look like all the time. People don't know my family, unless I listen to the podcast. And that's what I always say. The podcast is reserved for my most intimate thoughts and stories, family stories, that kind of stuff. But I'm not parading, like you said. We're not waking up in matching pajamas and, I don't know, cutting down our Christmas tree together.
Right, exactly. Which I would say, you know, if I had to say there's a way to do it well or to do it more ethically or to do it right, like you are a really great example of sharing your motherhood journey without turning your children into like mini content creators with you or turning their lives into products, right? And I appreciate that about the way you show up in the world. But then you do have the other extreme where you have that kind of like family vlogger, influencer thing where, I mean, you even see a child and a family being monetized before kids are even born, you know, from like the conception all the way to who the hell knows, right?
Yeah, no, it's so true. Actually, just the other, I say the other day, but what is time? Time is a construct. A few weeks ago, I had Sarah Adams on the podcast talking about this, and she is the woman behind Mom Uncharted on TikTok and I know Chef's Kiss on Instagram. And she's incredible. So we talked about all of this kind of stuff because it's important. It's important conversation to talk about.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is the waters we're swimming in. But you know, it also goes into, I was just talking to someone earlier today. There's kind of this spectrum of the age of the personal brand. On one side of the one extreme is this pressure to turn ourselves, you know, what is a brand? First, I really like to discern or to define a brand. A brand is ultimately a memory. It lives in the mind of its audience. It's a set of expectations and experiences and memories and reputation, all of that kind of bundled up in one's brain, right? Which is what makes branding so hard. When a company is rebranding, basically they're like making a wish out loud and all of like, this is how I hope you remember us. And now we're going to do all these marketing activities to align our desired outcome, like how we hope you remember us with how you actually do remember us, right? That's what makes branding tricky. So a brand is a memory. And when you look at traditional kind of corporate branding, the easiest way to curate that memory in an audience's mind is to be predictable and to follow a consistent pattern to kind of repeat the same thing again and again and again until your audience comes to know and expect that from you. And that's kind of how you decorate the space that you rent in their brain. When you apply that to a person, though, there is this pressure to turn oneself into this very curated, chiseled, easy to understand, dependable, you know, predictable person, because that's what a brand is. So that's this one extreme, right? And then you have the other extreme, which is like this very curated, the curated mess, right? Which is instead of trying to be this like little pretty box of perfection, it's this other thing of let me take my deepest, darkest pain and all of the mess and like every bad thing that may happen to me or every chaotic element of my life. And I'm going to stretch that and turn that into content. And I think being authentic and vulnerable is in an honest and sincere way is somewhere in the middle of these two extremes of either curated perfection and like this nichified persona or curated pain and imperfection and curated manufactured vulnerability that really isn't true vulnerability. And I think most people I know and work with, luckily, are trying to walk the tightrope between those two worlds. We don't want either one of those things. We don't want to be manufacturing our own pain for like monetizing our own chaos or mess, but we also don't want to live our lives in like a Barbie box of our own making. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So well said, right? Really? Like I'm sitting here and like the wheels in my own mind are going like tick, 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 and thinking about all of that kind of stuff because really, you're so good at what you do.
Again, I will take it all the come on the road with me. Let's take this show on the road. I am here for it.
I told you I'm a hype girl. You know I'm a cheerleader. So, I mean, like I said, there's like a thousand thoughts that are like rushing through my head at this time. But you know what I've noticed? And tell me if you've seen this yourself. In the last maybe 4 years or so, the personal brand has really exploded, especially on social, where when I first got on social in 2016, it was not like that. And then I guess like the pandemic happened and the explosion of TikTok, and then it all changed. Have you seen that too?
Yeah, I think, well, once we transitioned from like all of us just like throwing spaghetti at the proverbial Facebook, Instagram, TikTok wall, And then emerging from that came like the birth of the influencer, right? And that now turning from like a spectacle or an oddity into a legitimate career path, right? Or like something, you know, whereas when I was growing up, everyone wanted to like be the next Britney Spears or Whitney Houston. Now the kids today, they want to be like the next fill in a TikTok sensation or Nastya. She's like a, you know, unboxing child that is always like doing, you know, she's like 9 years old and she's on, you know, YouTube and has millions of followers and her own merch line, all her own personal brand. You know, it wasn't a TV network that brought her in. So yeah, I mean, this has become the American dream, if you will, I think has gone from like, make money, you can be anything you want to be, or, you know, this vision of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps into make money being yourself. And yet the self that we're describing here really isn't the self. It is make money, you know, latching into whatever part of yourself resonates most with an audience, and then do that thing for the rest of your life, right? And that's how the algorithm is, especially on TikTok. You go viral for something. Now that's you. That's your brand, right? Like I go viral for like eating peanut butter out of a jar with a spoon and everyone thinks that's hilarious. Now I'm the eating things out of a jar girl. I just eat things out of jars now. That's all I do. And, you know, so yeah, I have seen that. Yeah,
that happens a lot. It happens a lot. I've heard that with TikTok is like if you ever stray from what people know you for, it's not going to fly.
Mm-mm. No. And that's why even for those people that I know who are like full on rejecting the age of the personal brand, like they're like, I will not have a brand. I'm not going to, you know, curate my own persona. I'm either not going to be visible on the internet or I'm going to. But what I said before about a brand being a memory makes it pretty hard or impossible, I'd suggest, to opt out of this branded age, because even let's use the example of you have absolutely no digital footprint, right? Of like, I'm not on social. I'm not on LinkedIn. I have no, if you Google my name, like not a bunch of random people that aren't me pop up. If a brand is a memory and therefore there's no memory of you, the lack of a memory also is part of the brand. And like, if your girlfriend is going on a date or you know somebody who's going on a date and like you try to Google the person that you're going on a date with and nothing comes up, that's a little scary. So now that fear of what is or isn't this person, what do they have to hide, has now become part of their brand. You know, so it's like we can't even opt out of it. And when we do say, hey, in my case, I kind of embrace being a collage of a human being, which kind of to me means I'm all of these like mixed media elements put into a person, because that's what a person is, right? It's not a wallpaper of a predictable repeating pattern. It is more of a, you know, a mixed media collage. But when you embrace that and you do that and you push back against the algorithm and this branded age of, I just want to be able to fold myself up into like a little elevator pitch that I can repeat again and again, there are consequences for that. There are consequences for a content creator. There are consequences for a business. There are consequences for a person who dares to defy definition. And that's what makes it so challenging to be in this age where we're rewarded for kind of, like I said, putting ourselves into a little pretty Barbie box that's easy to consume, but hard to be and hard to live as a human. And, you know, that's kind of, I think if you go in with your eyes wide open, though, whether you're a content creator, whether you run a business, whether you're just a mom living your life, you know, that choosing to defy that will come with some degree of some of those consequences I think are good. I like being a wild card. I like being unpredictable. I like not fitting into a neat box. But has that cost me revenue? Has it cost me money? Has it cost me followers? Yeah. And I've assumed those costs as part of, you know, a greater reward for me of like living a full and vibrant life. You know what I mean? But we don't talk about this. We don't talk about those costs, yes. You know?
1,000% yes, because I do the same thing. I don't want to be put into a box. My Instagram is all over the place. It's hodgepodgey. It's not just me dancing or me giving a speech or me doing any one thing, right? Because that's how I am as a person. I'm many things, just as you are many things. And that's the mosaic of what makes us people. And so what you said resonated with me so much because I was like, yes, that's me. That's exactly how I feel. And has that come at the cost of, like you said, revenue, working with clients, different things? Yes. But at the foremost, the most important thing, isn't it about protecting our own mental health? And that's how I see it. So I'll do anything to protect my own mental health, you know, at the cost of all of those other things you mentioned.
And when you see these, we're seeing so many viral sensations, influencers, creators who reach a pinnacle of success. Like they've got millions or hundreds of thousands of followers. They've, you know, created a very successful niche. Most of them reach a ceiling, reach a point of burnout, reach a place where they like suddenly go offline because human beings are not brands, right? That we are not meant to be assembly line, you know, mass producing the same thought, the same life, the same moments again and again and again. And when a creator gets into that, and you understand why they do, right? You go viral and now suddenly you're doing the thing and it's fun and it's awesome. And you may have been doing this in obscurity for a really long time, or it may open doors that you never had opened for you before. So I don't blame anybody going down that road, right? And I've gone down that road in various ways over my career. But then you reach a point of, you know, when you're living and crafting and curating your life around the algorithm instead of your own mental health, as you said, it's not sustainable. You will hit a wall. And so I think if somebody is listening to this and they have hit that wall, and there's like a part of you, especially if like you hit that wall and you decide, I'm going to do something different now. And then like the algorithm punishes you, or your audience like, you know, disappears. Or I think hearing there are costs that are worth paying, in my opinion, for actually being your true self instead of a brand. And when that moment happens and you make that choice and you kind of step back into your own reality instead of like this illusion, this mirror world of like brandedness. And it feels weird at first, like, oh my God, am I doing something wrong? Like, what's wrong with me? Why do I feel this? Why you're not, this is normal, right? You're now reclaiming your own humanness, and being a human is messy. And it is all of the things. And it is a collage, a mosaic, as you said, of emotions and experiences. So lean in to the mess instead of like the veneer of perfection that lays on the other side of that branded kind of like dystopian mirror that we're all like invited into. It's like, you know?
Yeah. Like Black Mirror.
Yes, it is. The mirror is.
This episode is brought to you by Modern Mom Style Box. Upgrade your wardrobe and enjoy unlimited styles for just $60 a month. Modern Mom Style Box is the first rental clothing subscription designed exclusively for moms and moms-to-be. Get started today with a free trial. Use promo code PTO. So like, even for like lay people, right? Like the average mom, someone that's not like a content creator, like their kids are watching Mr. Beast. Right? They're being like, okay, I see that. I want that. That's what I'm striving for.
Yeah. And I think one interesting piece of this, we talk about this age of the personal brand being very new, and we're all wrestling with it in these various ways. Something I heard recently was Gen Z is the first generation to consume primarily content created by their peers. Now, in the case of Mr. Beast, that doesn't directly apply, but with a lot of our kids who are watching unboxing videos by fellow kids, or they're watching their peers or famous people on TikTok. So this is very interesting. You can see the benefits to it, but what I also find very troubling and scary is, okay, one, here's a stat for you. Children under the age of 8 have a hard, if not impossible time, like their brains aren't able to differentiate between entertainment content and advertising content. You know how as adults, like if we're watching TV and an ad comes on, like our brain shuts off a little bit. We're not paying the same amount of attention to an ad that we are to our favorite show or a movie, right? Children though, especially young children, actually tend to pay the same amount of attention to an ad as they do to entertainment. So that's concerning. Number two, children, and this is like, you know, children and adults, but definitely children, tend to lend more credit and esteem to someone that they consider a peer versus, let's say, you know, a Blippi, for example. It's much easier for a child to say, like, to see that Blippi is a character. But if I'm watching content on YouTube or on TikTok created by someone who looks and sounds just like me, I am trusting them more. And this, as I said, you know, goes for adults as much as children, but children are especially vulnerable to this. You put these two pieces together where you've got a youth influencer creating content that also is, especially in the form of unboxing videos, is ultimately entertainment and advertising combined. Our children are not able to discern the difference. Whereas you and me, if we're like scrolling our Instagram feed and we see something that's like a paid partnership, we're like, okay, I know that this is an advertisement. Maybe it's still, I'm still enjoying it and I'm still watching it, but I know what's going on here, right? Our kids don't. Our kids don't have that switch in their brain. And to me, this is troubling. It's helpful for us to know this, to help for us to shepherd our kids through and help them understand that, like, yeah, the teen influencer that you're watching on YouTube or TikTok may seem like they're just your friend from around the corner, but let's be clear, this is a business and their goal isn't to be your buddy. Their goal is to sell you something, right? And I think helping our kids to understand that now, you know, in this age of parasocial relationships is one of the ways we have to protect them, that our parents didn't have to teach us as much, right? Like, it wasn't as messy and as confusing and as vague back in the day. I mean, when I was a kid watching Nickelodeon, I knew when a commercial came on, when I was being sold, you know, some gack or something, right? I knew what the goal was here. I knew it wasn't entertainment. I knew that I wasn't being, if I saw a child on the television playing with this gack, that they weren't my friend. But that isn't the case with a YouTuber, with an influencer that feels like very much like this could be my BFF. And that's what they're making their money off of, is the parasocial bond formed here that feels like it is your BFF. And that's why I'm going to click the, I'm going to take your recommendations. I'm going to click the link. I'm going to continue to comment and engage with your content because I feel like we've got a bond now. So, whew, that's how the age of the personal brand influences us, even if we aren't ourselves creating brands or creating content. If our kids are online interacting with us in any way, shape, or form, this is how, you know, we've got to shepherd them through the age of the personal brand.
So as we were talking about YouTubers and personal brands, I was thinking about a meme that I wrote back in, I'm trying to think, maybe 2017. So this was a long time ago. And I'm going to paraphrase it. And it was something about, you know, thanks YouTubers for making my son think that unboxing toys is a viable career option. Now, back in 2017, my son was like 3 or 4. And this was a very long time ago. And like when you were seeing that, the kids were like, oh my God, this is what I want to do when I grow up. And I was like, oh, that you're not going to do that. But now, 7 years later, like 6, 7 years later, like, no, it is actually a viable thing. And I can't even post that meme anymore because I remember one time I did, maybe like 2 years ago or something. And I like people all jumped on and were like, they were like, what are you talking about? Of course it's a viable career option. I was like, yeah, but it wasn't back then. It was funnier then.
It's the same thing with, I remember comic strips in like the 90s that making fun of the concept of being a professional gamer. Back when people were gamers and they treated it like a profession, but there was literally nothing you could do to monetize that back, or like maybe 0.001. I guess there was like awards for the best gamers, but it was a very strange underworld at that point. Now that's a thing. You can't make those jokes anymore. You can be a professional gamer. And hey, I mean, that is its own. There is a whole world of content and fans and, yes, and a universe there.
That's what my son wants to do.
And
I support him.
And it is, we are living in a very weird reality that, like you said, that unboxing things. I'll tell you what, in my research, as I have been researching how kind of early brands, like when we go back to the 1800s, like the early items that were placed on a shelf. This is I'm holding up a bottle of medicine from one of the earliest brands of like the late 1800s. and how that evolved into the world, like this hyper branded world that we're living in today. In like the early 2000s, companies like PlayStation and Xbox actually would pay people to go on YouTube and pretend to be unboxing things. Like, this was pre-influencer. So they would pay, you know, an actor to act like a regular guy who just loves PlayStation and like unboxing my new, you know, like my new console. Like, look at this. I love it. Little did they know. I mean, like, this is, you know, a whole new world for these brands. They don't have to pay people anymore to do that. They're doing it for free. They're like begging Sony and PlayStation, like, please pay attention to me. I'm unboxing for you. But like the, you know, like I said, like 15, 20 years ago, the brands were like paying people to pretend to be influencers and unboxers, like before that reality actually came to pass. So it's like, where, what, and what comes next, right? What's around the bend for us? I don't know. I'm scared, though. I am scared.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do some quick predictions. Let's put our futurist hats on. What does this mean for our kids and our teenagers?
Well, see, there's like, I can't help but look at the future with a very cynical lens. But what I will say is, what happened in like the 60s and 70s was, you know, brands up until that point were really selling this like one singular homogenized version of the ideal American. Like advertising in and of itself, like up like through the 50s, there wasn't the ability to segment your audiences, right? There was no like Nickelodeon versus an MTV versus a Lifetime network where you could have different ads and different audiences. It was like advertisers back then were selling to the greatest amount of people possible. So the ads that were coming out of that were very like, you know, this kind of upper middle class, like white suburban family. Like this is the, we're selling you a product so that you can become this thing, right? And heading into the 60s and the age of counterculture, the general public kind of started to push back. They were like, this isn't, first of all, this doesn't represent all people, all experiences. It's a very kind of narrow, we reject this. And there was this big, like the hippie movement and the countercultural movement was all about like turning off your TV and dropping out of mainstream and like going away into the, you know, into the countryside to like smoke a joint and, you know, really like be a human being outside of consumerism. So I predict now, here was what was sad about that, is that a lot of companies kind of kept their eye on that. If you remember that famous Coca-Cola ad of like all of the people across the world, like standing on, yes, a mountaintop being like,
we'd,
you know,
like to buy the world, yes, a Coke and da 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 da.
So that was Coca-Cola, yeah, like keeping its finger on the pulse of the counterculture and saying, well, if we can't beat them, we're going to join them. And now we're going to advertise to this desire to be a nonconformist. And that's where all, whoa, of these ads, you know, where it was like, be cool, be different, buy our thing. And now you can be different,
yes,
right?
Even Pepsi was, God, what was the Pepsi one in the 80s? It was like, you know, like they were sort of saying like, buck the trends,
yes,
drink Pepsi.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember. Like
so,
the Pepsi generation.
Yeah. You're a nonconformist. You're buying the number two cola instead of the number one, right? But, yep, you know, so the cynic in me says that no matter what happens, the brands are still going to continue to chase along, you know, in back of our culture. And yet, this to me says that I think we can predict and expect, especially these young people coming of age in this hyper-branded surreality, they're going to reject it, right? I believe that more and more young people are going to say, I reject all of it. I reject the influencing. I reject the personal brand. I reject, you know, all of the consumerism and commercialism. They already are, not only because of brand culture, but because they see, the younger generation sees more than any generations before, the consequences of consumerism on our planet, on ourselves. I mean, like we're living in it, right? We're living in the polluted, you know, fumes of mass production, which is where branding came from. So I think we can predict. I think that's the hope. I think that, yeah, for a young person day-to-day, there's like a sex appeal or like it's kind of alluring to think I could be a professional gamer. I could be an unboxing person. Like, I don't even know. But like, and at the same time, I think Gen Z and also Gen Alpha are breathing in the toxic fumes of our brand culture, and they will reject it and come up with a counterculture of their own. And I'm excited for it. Like, let's go, bring it on, please. I'm begging you. Like, you know,
I'm here for it.
I am here for it. Of course, there's another side of this dystopia. Like, and some folks will go all the way. We'll continue to lean in. We'll continue to over curate, and it'll just continue. Like, this beast of the personal brand will continue to evolve, this Frankenstein of our own making, or Frankenstein's monster, to be more precise. And I also have hope in these younger generations that they are more cynical and rejecting. Whereas you always see this divide, like millennials, for example. I'm a millennial. I'm an elder millennial, a geriatric millennial, depending on who you ask. But
same.
Millennials, like, especially in like the 2010s, we were like really thirsty for like brands to pay attention to us on social media. We would love, like, if McDonald's retweeted us, we would be like, look, can you believe it? Like, Ronald McDonald knows who I am, right? Like, we love that. And that's very cringe of us. Gen Z, not so much, not to that degree. Like, that would be like a no for them. They're not chasing some sort of a weird, I mean, millennials are the girl boss generation, this very highly curated, like, look at me slay all day on a flat lay while drinking rosé type of a thing. I don't see that as much as in Gen Z. And I predict that that will definitely not be the case with Gen Alpha. So I think there's hope, you know?
Yeah. I think there's hope. I think by the very nature that Gen Z is as big into dupes as they are from like a brand perspective.
Yes.
I feel like that is also, I mean, not that I'm saying I condone that, because I know that, that I don't want to get in trouble with like the Louis Vuitton legal team or anything like that. I don't condone it. I'm just saying, from a social criticism, I think that it's interesting that Gen Z is into dupes, and that shows them bucking the trends of brands. Well, it's not that they're bucking the trends, it's that they don't want to put the money into it.
Right. You can tell Louis, I do condone that. Have them come after me. You know what? Come at me, Louis Vuitton. I'm here for it. I am here.
I actually knew a girl, this was years ago, who used to work for the legal team for Gucci. And she like fought all of the counterfeiting. So I wonder, yeah, I don't think she's there anymore now, but I wonder what they're thinking.
Listen, now dupes for like a small business, like a boutique of like, you know, it's a small family owned or micropreneur situation. I definitely don't condone the dupes of that. But for a Gucci, for a Louis Vuitton, hell yeah, bring down the brand overlords. I have no problem with that. I'm not like worried about McDonald's bottom line. I'm not worried about like Fendi's bottom line here. Okay. So again, come at me. Let's throw down. I'm not afraid. Oh my God.
I'm laughing because Rachel dropped her earbuds. But we're good. That's how serious she was. She's like, you know what?
Me.
Let's throw down. I'm taking off my earrings. I'm taking off my earrings right now. Let's go. That's what she did. She pulled all the stuff off. Oh my God, Rachel, you are incredible. I feel like I could talk to you about this for hours, because there's so many different things. You know, there's mental health for the kids. There's hope for the future. You know, there's so many different elements. I feel like maybe you could come back a second time and we'll talk about this, or
anytime.
We'll do continuation.
Anytime. It'll be the second best day of my life. So yes.
Rachel, where can everyone find you?
You can find me anywhere internets are sold. But you know what? I'm overactive on Instagram. If you go to rachelkalbers.com, that's RachelkayAlbers, you're going to find me too much, you know, and you're going to wish you hadn't found me. And that's how I roll. So yeah, anywhere internets are sold, just go looking and I'll come across your screen.
How did you get involved with like all the rainbow? Obviously you have a very unique look, and obviously you're a branding expert, so I guess it's a really silly question to ask, but why the bright colors? How did that come about?
Well, you know, I am in design, and design and branding are one of the pieces of media in my mixed media collage of the self, right? And from kind of a, like the meaning behind it, You know, and as we think about this age of the personal brand, we're really encouraged to present this like monochromatic version of ourselves. Choose a color, choose a lane, choose a thing, and then double down on that. And whether we're thinking about, you know, all of the emotions in the world are part of the human experience, or all of the colors of and shades of ourself are part of what make us and individuals, that piece of kind of the technicolor rainbow, like spectrum piece to me is very meaningful. And it helps to remind me, like I said, all of the experiences of life, all of the pain and the joy are part of the human experience. And all of the colors in me are a part of what make me me. And it helps to remind me to embrace the full spectrum of myself instead of getting like, lured into becoming the color that the algorithm wants me to be today. You know what I mean? So there you go. There you have it.
I love it. I'm soaking it all in. Give me all the colors.
Yes.
Rachel, thanks so much for being here today. Thanks for listening to today's episode of Modern Mom Probs. I hope you enjoyed our deep dive in today's problem with me, your host, Tara Clark. Join me next time when I'll be interviewing another great guest and tackling another modern mom problem. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and a rating. As always, you could head over to Modern Mom Probs on Instagram and give me a follow, or check out my book, Modern Mom Probs, A Survival Guide for 21st Century Mothers, available online wherever books are sold. Well, that's it for today. See you next time, folks.